41 minutes. May never see the light of day. Okay, so as a special treat for everyone here at The Real World, you're going to hear a voice that is not mine or Mike Thomas's, which is something that may happen more going forward, tease. And the voice you're going to hear is that of Kevin Ford. Kevin, how are you right now?
I'm very good. Is that tease because I'm going to be on future stuff that I don't know about?
Yeah, surprise. No, I've got a project coming out where I'm going to interview people. Surprise, everybody. So, the reason Kevin is on, my dear friend Kevin Ford, is me and Mike had the same experience of we watched Serenity without having a clue what Firefly was. I personally, a buddy and I used to just every weekend just go to the movie theater and just be like, hey, that's on, let's watch it. And I don't know if my friend knew what Firefly was, so he was excited to see it, but I had never heard a thing about Serenity. Hadn't seen a trailer, an image, nothing. I just go with my friend, watch this movie, and I was like, huh, that was a lot of fun. And then years, you know, over the years, you hear about Firefly, like it's this cult thing. And then when I finally see it, I'm like, wait a minute. And then the light bulb goes, I'm like, oh, okay. And I, of course, from then became a super fan. But that is not the typical experience. The typical experience is, you know, as you'd expect, watching Firefly as it happened, and then when they announced, hey, there's a movie, you go and see it. And that's exactly what Kevin did. So you are representing everyone in the world that did this properly versus me and Mike, who are complete freaks. So just as a little bonus on this episode of the podcast, I'm just going to talk to you about your perspective on this movie as someone who did watch the show originally. So I guess to get started, like, what is your kind of history with the show? Like, how did you get into it? Did you watch it every week when it was originally airing?
No, and quite truthfully, I'm sure not many people did watch it while it was first airing, or maybe it would have survived.
True.
I mean, what? It was on like a Friday night with very little fanfare. They didn't even air most of the episodes, and it was just like, what is this? And that was a period where Fox was just canceling shows like it was their job. Like, barely gave anything a chance, so
yeah,
didn't really survive.
That was definitely an era.
But thankfully, there was this period in like 2002, 2003, where DVD box sets sort of became a thing. And they all did really well. Like, The Simpsons box set came out and did gangbusters. The Family Guy DVD really did gangbusters. Chappelle Show, things like that. And Firefly was one of those, and that's how I discovered the show. I'm fortunate enough to have an older brother who introduces me to all things that are cool. He's about 4 years older, and he was a freshman in college, so he really knew it was cool when I was a freshman in high school. And one of his friends was really into movies and TV. He even worked at a Blockbuster type store called Hollywood Video. Don't know if you had those in England, but with those, that was another rental video outlet here in the United States. So I remember, like, every week he'd come with, like, a couple of movies, and I'd watch him with them here and there. But Firefly was a show that he got into because he was a big Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel fan. And so he watched Firefly and then introduced my brother to it, and then subsequently me. And I remember watching the pilot and thinking it was a little bit long, but I enjoyed it. And then over time, I would watch the remainder of the episodes, but kind of just sort of forgot about it because I wasn't super paying attention to it or wasn't, like, super duper into it. But then when I heard a movie was coming out, I remember enjoying the show enough that I really wanted to see the movie, and I had friends who really enjoyed Firefly as well. So I purchased the box set for myself on Amazon, and I rewatched the entire series before going to see the movie in theaters. And then over time, I would read some of the comic books that came out. There was a specific like three-part book that came out around when the movie did that I purchased. And I remember, like, each week, each issue had three different covers, and then in total was all nine of the characters. And I'm pretty sure I got Mal, the Shepherd, and River. Those are the three covers I decided to get, depending on which week it was and which art I thought was the coolest and which characters I really liked. And there were some other books that they put out. Like, there was a one-shot with Wash that Patton Oswalt wrote years later. There was another, like, I think five-issue Serenity book that I purchased that I have. And I don't think I've read, but or it's been such a long time that I may as well have not have read it. And I guess in a nutshell, that's kind of my history with Firefly. And, of course, I've become a big fan of Buffy and Angel myself and some of the other things that Joss Whedon has done. So yeah, this show holds a particularly special place in my heart because it's one of those shows where I was young enough to watch it and sort of shaped my mind into, like, what understanding, like, what is good characters on TV, what is good television, and sort of recognizing it and appreciating TV for what it can be as opposed to just, like, something you kind of put on and mindlessly watch to kill some time.
Definitely. I mean, it's so good that it justified me and Mike talking about it for an hour a week for 8 weeks. So that says a lot, because we hate each other. So just getting us to talk for a week, for an hour, is something. So, I mean, the thing that Mike and I made a particular note of is, obviously, this was made with a higher budget. It's a movie as opposed to a TV show. And you can immediately see that on the screen. Like, you can see it's got a different look to it. It looks more expensive. The CG is slicker. You know, we see the Reavers, which Joss had plans for doing in a hypothetical season two. But, like, given the budget of the show, like, you wonder if they would have... I mean, the way they're presented here is effective. Like, you know, you've got a large number of them. They've got heavy prosthetics and makeup and props and all that. You imagine, like, it wouldn't have been anywhere near this effective in the show. And, like, all the CG, like, on the ships is far more elaborate, less obviously cheap-looking. So, for you as someone who... I mean, this whole thing is framed as, you know, as a fan of the show, what do you think of the movie? But just how do you feel about the look, the tone, the feel of it in comparison to the show?
It's obviously different in respects where, you know, the movie has just a little bit different of a feel. The colors are a little bit more like a winter type, a more cold type of feel, a little bit brighter in aspects, especially at the start of the movie. But that's sort of just like a difference between how TV and movies are. Like, there's a little bit of a warmth in the TV show that isn't represented on the screen, I find. And the music missing from the movie, I think, is a part of that as well. But it wasn't such a departure from what I liked about Firefly that I felt like it hindered my enjoyment of the movie, especially with an aspect where you're first introduced to the characters on the ship after the intro with River and Simon and the main protagonist and all that, and then you get to the ship and you reintroduce the characters. It feels like you're hanging out with your old buddies again. And so, as somebody who liked the show, it instantly just puts a smile on my face, and it was good seeing these people. The rapport was exactly the same as the show was, and it was just, it got that fun vibe. And yeah, as in general, I really enjoyed the movie. It was pretty much, at that time, when I watched it, it was kind of exactly what I wanted from a Firefly movie.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that, because, I mean, you know, you would have been invested in this show, presumably sad that it was over. And I don't know, like, how far before the movie coming to fruition you got into it. I know you didn't watch it as it was happening, but I don't know. Presumably there was a decent amount of time for you to have watched this show, to get into this show, to obsess about the show, to think about this show. And with all things like this, when they announce, oh, they're making a movie, our minds sort of run wild with, like, here's what I would want to see happen, here's what I hope they don't do, etc. So... how was your just overall experience with it in terms of just like the entire thing? Like, did it live up to expectations? Did it exceed them? Was there stuff that you didn't expect them to do and you were pleased with? Was there stuff you didn't approve of?
I think I didn't let myself get too optimistic, just because I think there's so many times where a show gets rebooted either as a television show or it gets a movie. Or vice versa, like a movie gets a spinoff television show and you're just so utterly disappointed that it's not what it was or it's not what you expected. So I tried to keep expectations low. And to be honest, it was really hard to tell, like, how is this? How are they going to do this television show as a movie? Although I think the pilot kind of gives you a look into what that would be like. It is, if you put it together, the two episodes, it is pretty much feature length. Mm-hmm. And it's meant to be watched in that way. But in a way, because the summer before it came out, I had watched all of Buffy and I was finishing up Angel. I had kind of trusted Joss to treat his property and the characters well enough that I wasn't expecting too much of a departure. And really, the only takeaway I had from that was that I was glad that they rounded out Summer a little bit more. They gave you a little bit more background into why she is the way that she is and her relationship with Simon. And, you know, you get a little bit of them as kids, but then you get the scene where she's, you know, she's being messed with and tampered with and getting all those government secrets in her head. And I also remember just being a little bit disappointed that there wasn't a little bit more of the Shepherd and even to a little bit of an extent, Inara. But then when I rewatched the movie in present day, I think they're in the movie for just the right amount. I can't think of much in the movie where them being present would have added much more than the scenes they were in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, Inara in my head before rewatching it was only in it for like a minute or two, but I did sort of come to realize, I mean, she's not got a ton of dialogue, but she is like right there with them for about half the movie. So
yeah, aside from like, you know, the hilarious with her and Mal first talking over the video screen, everyone watching them, I really didn't remember much at all of what she did in the movie.
Yeah,
because she just isn't that much of a, like a big part of it. She doesn't have a major impact in that respect. Aside from kind of like the will they won't they with her and Mal and her kind of that, and also just like she wanted to distance herself away from the boat, but then eventually comes back and finds comfort and reconciling with it. And so that was nice on rewatch, just kind of forgetting her major part. And I think having the shepherd there was very nice, but it also kind of makes sense that he wouldn't be with him, that he would have distanced himself, and of course had a unfortunate demise as well. But I think they handled that very well.
Yeah. I mean, we obviously had like the opposite experience where we met River as an ass kicker with powers, and we met Book as like a completely inconsequential side character where it's a bit confusing of like, why are they playing on this so heavily when he's just some dude? Whereas as we found watching the show, it's frustrating how slowly they're getting to the River stuff. And Book is, you know, quite a big part of the show, and a part that was teased out to be more, like, you know, all his implications of I wasn't always a shepherd, and the heavy inference that he used to be someone like the operative, someone like, you know, these alliance, like, mercs. And I think they did some of that with the comics, sort of getting into who he is, but it is very interesting that it's like a complete flip reaction where you're glad that River's rounded out and you're sad that Book's diminished, whereas we were like, had the opposite.
Right. It's almost weird. Like, she comes off as like the star of the movie, just for the first part. And I think when I remember when I watched the movie and I thought about it, kind of the creed when it comes to watching stuff with Joss Whedon in it is don't get happy, because when things are looking good, you're just going to get hit in the face with something.
Yeah.
And I think with the shepherd's death, they kind of set you up like, all right, that's the character. Like, Joss is going to kill somebody. Who's it going to be? And then it's him. And you're like, all right, that kind of makes sense. And then later on, they hit you with something even bigger that you don't expect. And as somebody, and that's the other thing is, I can't imagine, like, that was such an impactful moment for me in the movie when that other character dies. And for you guys, it probably was just like, okay. I mean, like, obviously it had the effect it wanted to, but as somebody who hadn't grown accustomed to those characters or the show at first, it probably didn't have the same effect.
Well, this is where me and Mike differ. We were talking about it when just planning this podcast. I actually got really attached to Wash in the space of the, like, 90 minutes or whatever, to the point that death did, like, really affect me. I was like, oh, man, like, and, like, having Zoe survive him is so true. And, like, that's how you make it more effective, is having someone, like, we all can understand this concept of grief and everything. He thought that Wash was kind of like a lot more diminished compared to the show. Like, all he gets to do is die, I think is how he said it to me. But no, I personally, like, while Book did nothing for me, I found Book very confusing from memory. But yeah, Wash I really bonded with very quickly because he's so likable. He's your favorite character, I believe.
Yeah, I would say so, just because of the, you know, it's, he sort of has for the same effect of me of why I, you know, Homer is maybe one of my favorite characters, is obviously he has some of the funniest moments, but he also has some of the most unexpectedly really sweet moments in the show as well. And, like, you know, I think one of my favorite things in the entirety of Firefly was when Wash was second guessing himself because Zoe was this ex-war confidant of Mal, who was there, and he felt like she could really do something and be active, and he felt like he was kind of useless. And that whole dynamic, I think, really helped flesh out them as a couple and understand them, but was so powerful to me because it showed a vulnerability in this character that really just sort of typically plays it cool, you know, tells jokes here and there, kind of wisecracks, and is a little bit of a coward here and there, but in that sort of like affable way. So to have that heaviness comes, it's really heavy when it comes, because it's from a place you don't expect it. And that was one of my favorite parts of the show. But I don't know if you necessarily get what that relationship is all about in the movie itself. And so I think that's why it hurt so much for me when that happened, is because I felt for Zoe and I knew how much she cared about him. And you get that just because they're married in the movie, that obviously you can understand they care for each other. But I feel like if you had seen that fleshed out in the show, it's even more impactful when you watch it in the film.
Oh, yeah. When watching the show for the first time, I kind of retroactively got sadder about Wash's eventual death. Like, every time he did something funny or endearing, or they had a sweet moment or whatever, I was like, oh, and he dies. I am a leaf on the wind. so aside from Wash, like, what do you think of... Because this is the end of it, sort of. You followed these characters. How do you feel about... Not necessarily going through them one by one, but just anyone who particularly sticks out for you, like the journey they went on, like how they developed, how they changed, anyone who... Like, a big thing for me, Jane feels a bit different in the movie to the show. Like, he's far ballsier about confronting Mal. Like, you get... They build that tension in the show of them having this friction, but him outright yelling, "I'm talking at you," at Mal, it struck me as odd that he would get that kind of confrontational, but... I don't know, just generally, like, the cast and the characters, like, how they differed from, or things you liked with where they went.
I think, you know, I think the character to me that kind of had the biggest difference between the show and the movie would be Simon. Just because he's a little more timid, and his role is mostly to, he's on the ship because to hide his sister, but in turn, he's the doctor. Mm-hmm. And so he's the one who's kind of on the ship, and he's there to help heal the wounds of the people. But here he's out on the front line saving his sister, bringing her back to the ship. And he has no problem getting into Mal's face when he feels like he's putting his sister in danger.
Yeah.
And of course they tease the will they won't they with Kaylee along the way, but it's less awkward than it is in the show.
Yeah.
From his side, you know, she's still smitten and she's still the same kind of sweet girl she's always been, but he's a little bit more, not direct or forward with her until, you know, later in there, but still sort of, I don't know, he's still a little bit more abrasive in his approach, but in not sort of a rude way. You understand why he is the way that he is, and you understood he's protecting her in the show, but after seeing the opening of this movie and just how much is at stake, you understand why he's able to come as hard as he is in this movie, and I think that's why he's able to be this way.
Yeah.
But it's nice, though, because every other one of the characters may have had a little bit of a change here, but it all still felt very familiar to me. Like, nothing felt, aside from Simon and Mal, there wasn't any drastic changes in the relationship with the characters, which, as a fan of the show, was refreshing. But it is nice to see that Malcolm and Inara were still able to be a little bit more civil than they would be at times on the show when they have their interactions.
Yes, I think that is a big thing. I think they dropped a lot of the more hashtag problematic aspects of the show, such as Mal constantly calling her a whore. That was very jarring to see for the first time after their sort of...
They ever, like, outright say what she did on the boat in Serenity?
No. Mike had made a big point about this, that, like, you get no sense of what Inara is, like... She's a lady at a Buddhist-style retreat, and there's incense, and she's classy, and she comes aboard, and she's awkward with Mal. I got no sense of what she was from the movie.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, like, there's... Part of me feels like, sure, you don't, but really, like, what was the purpose of her being there? And it was kind of that will-they-won't-they with her and Mal. And you understood they had a past relationship. You may not know exactly what it was, but you know she was a part of the ship at one point, and now she's not. And you kind of feel like probably something went awry with her and Mal. And that's all you really need to know, I think.
Definitely. Okay, so the Reavers were teased. You know, they were mentioned here and there. Like, there's a Reaver ship in the pilot. In the episode Bushwhacked, we get sort of the after effects of a Reaver attack. They're here and there. As someone who, you know, would have been teased by this sort of eventual reveal of the Reavers, and then, oh, you never get to see them. You finally do in this movie. So how did you feel about them? Like, had you built a picture of what they were like in your head, and like, how did they stack up?
Yes, and they were almost kind of exactly what I pictured in my mind.
Yeah.
Kind of like these just inhumane, awful creatures who just destroyed people. And they kind of looked exactly how I kind of expected them to. In a way, I wondered if just like, if not seeing them would have been better, because your mind's eye is kind of always better than what appears. But I think they did a really excellent job portraying what the vision they built of the Reavers were in the show and portraying them on the screen.
Yeah. I do feel, though, that... Because the big plot twist, which I love, the big Miranda moment where it turns out the Alliance inadvertently created the Reavers, it kind of lacks a bit of a punch because there hasn't been as much of a build-up about what they are kind of thing. Like, you imagine a world where this show went two or three seasons or whatever, and, like, there'd been more and more sort of encounters with Reavers or sort of the trail of their destruction or whatever. So it would have had more of an impact. I still found it a really cool moment seeing it for the first time in the movie. And it's still, like, when I think about this movie, I think about that reveal. I think about the operative's first sort of, his first scene. I also think of the ending, like their sort of last stand against the Reavers and malfighting the operative and all of that. I guess as we start to slightly wrap this up, like, what were your kind of, what did you like most about this movie? What was the stuff that you didn't particularly care for?
I think for me, this was sort of like, and again, we come from different perspectives, yeah, but for me, this was sort of like Joss giving an official farewell and, like, kind of, you know, wrapping it up and putting a bow on it, but also leaving the door open in case something were to happen. Because when I remember when the movie came out, there was always talk of it potentially being a trilogy, depending on how, yeah, the first movie did.
And that's why Wash and Book were the ones to die, because Universal, they had multi-picture options on everyone, but they couldn't get those two. So they were both, they had less to do and they were killed off.
Was there a particular reason either of them signed deals?
Alan Tudyk, like, you know, pops up quite a lot, so I guess he was busy, and Ron Glass is a quote-unquote serious actor, or was, tragically passed away. But yeah, I don't know, they were just the two that scheduling wouldn't work out where they'd be available.
He was just waiting for that sweet Dodgeball 2 movie to come back out.
Indeed he was, yeah. And that you raise a good point. Like, this is probably a better question than what do you like about the movie. Just how effective of an ending to Firefly is this? Like, I personally think it, like you said, it ties a bow on almost every plot line there is. You know, you don't get, like, a Mal and an Ara kiss or anything like that, but, and you sort of are left wondering, what the hell is Zoe gonna do now? But, you know, they hint at those things. So, like, for you, was this, like, a satisfying piece of catharsis, a satisfying sort of ending to this thing that you loved?
Yes, definitely. And I think that, you know, I don't need to see where all my characters that I enjoy go till the day they die. Yeah. I don't need to know their entire life story. But at the end of the movie, you do get this sense that everybody's going to be okay.
Yeah.
That things are going to end up as they are, because at the end of the day, the people who have taken this journey that you've been on this journey are, they're a family. They're going to fight together. And whether it's the Reavers, whether it's the, what's the other, the operative, whether it's the operative, whatever, the Alliance, what have you, they're a family. They're going to stick together. They may disagree. They may fight, like all families do. But at the end of the day, eye on the prize, same objective. They got each other's backs, and things are going to end up okay for the people aboard this boat.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's the sense I got. And I thought, from a cathartic standpoint, I really, really loved it. I can't find a Firefly fan who didn't really like it.
I'm sure there's one out there, but yeah, it's
probably, but the ones I've encountered, those who watched the show either when it happened or watched it on DVD before the movie came out, there's nobody who came out of it being like, I hated it, or I didn't get what I wanted, or this or that, the other. Everybody I know really enjoyed it, and I have those same feelings.
Yeah, and I think it simultaneously is more of what you like, and also raises the stakes and pushes it forward, and, you know, makes it a movie with, like, a big plot where, you know, the show is basically about, they've already lost, and they're just getting by. And the movie is very much a sort of good versus evil, can they topple the regime? And, like, we don't know if the Alliance is actually crippled by what happens at the end, but it does a great job, I think, of being both of those at the same time, where, like you said at the beginning, we're back on board this ship, here's everyone we love, everyone is as you remember them, no one's really got, like, a gimmick slapped on top of them just to make it a movie. Like, it's very natural, but then at the same time, it is this new, bigger, badder, slicker thing. So yeah, I think that really speaks to sort of, like, just got it. Like, this is what needed to happen, and this is the only way it should have happened, and this is how it did happen.
I mean, it's kind of going to like a high school reunion or you know, a high or a college grad or reunion or something, and you're catching up with some old friends and you're just asking each other like, so how have you been? And you're checking in, and some people have gone on to do really great things. Some people have really changed. Some people have really evolved. Some people haven't. They're kind of the same person they were when you last saw them, and that's okay too. Yeah. And so you're just kind of checking in to see, where has everybody been since this show I loved kind of went off the air, and what does the future kind of hold for them? And I think you kind of get those answers in this movie. And go ahead.
Some people have been murdering like rooms full of cannibals with axes and swords. Some people have just been doctors. You know, like we've all done stuff.
Right. Right. It's also so great, like when they reveal that like River had killed all the Reavers when she was put behind that door.
Yeah.
And everyone's just kind of like, huh. Oh. All right.
Like, yeah, you assume that that's the end of River. Like, she goes out, like, saving everyone, and that was what she was always going to do because she's this tragic character. It's like, no, she kills them all.
Right. Well, that's the other thing, though, is, like, she always surprises you. Like, she has, yeah. she's so much stronger and smarter than they all realize, and even though she's just, like, this tortured person with this awful past and just this shell of a human that they barely even treat as a human, but... again, she's part of that family too, and she shows it in very strange but very cool ways.
Yes, indeed. That was actually one of my favorite parts of this podcast, like picking up on all these moments where River shows more self-awareness than, you know, the bullet point pitch for the character would suggest that she had, you know, being aware that she's holding Simon back and sort of hinting at knowing more about what's going on than it seems like she does.
I swallowed a bug.
I swallowed a bug. And, you know, she ends this movie as the co-pilot. And
yeah.
What do you think about, like, that final... Because, I mean, you know, I feel the ending is, like, so fitting of Firefly. Like, you know, you get this triumphant, surprising moment. It's optimistic, but then it, of course, ends with... A, something funny. B, something going wrong, like with the ship sort of malfunctioning or whatever. How do you feel about that final shot?
Oh, I love it. And I think it's great, too, because, like, you don't get a ton of interaction between Mal and River in the show or in the movie. Because, you know, Simon kind of speaks for her and, you know, he talks about her and wonders what her deal is. But rarely are they in the room together, especially just the two of them. So having that moment where it's the two... biggest characters in this movie in there. And the one thing that I love about it too is because she's become the new captain of the ship. It's just unspoken. She's just there and she starts flying it.
Yeah.
And you can tell Mal is obviously kind of scared about it and has his reservations. But also she just killed a room full of Reavers. So I think there's part of him where he doesn't say much else because he just learns to quietly trust her.
Yeah.
And he's like, if she's gonna captain the ship, he's like, I think we're gonna be okay. Like she's
yeah.
She like, we don't know what she knows, but I think we can trust that she knows what she's doing.
Yeah. I think the rare moments they do have together are always very profound. Like, there's a lot of unspokenness behind what they're saying. Like, when he calls her little one, and at the end of Objects in Space, like, when she saves the day and he welcomes her back aboard, I always think that stuff's great. So, Kevin Ford, thank you so much for guest starring on the Real World podcast, specifically Firefly Now Serenity Later, and giving us your thoughts on this movie and your sort of journey with the show.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me. Maybe some other day we'll find some common ground where I come on here and talk about something else.
Yeah, I will definitely have you as one of my guests on my yet to be announced podcast. But
ooh,
yeah, it's gonna be good times.
So you were trying to shoehorn me into something without telling me.
Wow, you were one of the people on my list of people to ask. You can say no, but now I've got you on record as being asked. It's going to be awkward.
Yeah, it would be awkward, so I guess I'll do it.
Kevin and I will talk about this off air, but for now, thank you so much for your appearance, and take care, Kevin Ford. OTBars.